goodness.
Welcome.
Hi, listeners. Welcome to episode, what are we now?
Three.
Number three.
No, we're four.
This is number four. Oh, you're right. This is number four.
Episode number four. Wow.
I'm sorry.
This month is going by fast.
Yeah.
Episode number four of Background Noise. And today we are going to be talking about fiction, fantasy, movies, and books.
We lied to you last week. We're very sorry.
That was a mistake. That's next week.
Lies and slander.
And basically living in your own little world. I'm quiet. This episode of Background Noise is brought to you by Goldie's Fries, food truck located at 160 Princess Avenue. For a quarter century, Goldie's Fry Truck has been bringing delicious game day classics to Winnipeggers from across the city. So they've got tons of food. They've got poutine, smoked dogs, hot dogs, footlongs, jalapeno sausage, cheeseburgers, Italian sausage, homemade potato and cheese pierogies, and they've got a bunch of cold drinks. And some add-ons, you can add extra cheese and extra gravy, and it's really delicious. They've got the Goldie Special, which is a $9 combo. And everything's homemade. Homemade fries, regular, large, or gravy and fries. So you want to check that out. They're usually hovering around the Exchange District, 160 Princess Avenue, right by Red River College. And try it out. It's delicious. Hello.
Living in your own little world.
Living in your own little world when the real world sucks and you want to live through vicariously through books and movies.
Yes, you have just accurately described my entire life.
Yeah. I mean, I do that here and there. I kind of live through my music, but I love going to the movies. I used to be a bookworm and then I stopped. So
why did you stop?
I don't know. I think school got in the way.
Yeah. I think
I don't have time to read books because when I read books, I like reading one book at a time and I don't like getting mixed up with reading a textbook or an article or doing homework.
That stuff mixes you up too?
It does, yeah. I don't know. I wish I could multitask with books.
Well, to be fair, I have a book in my backpack here that I haven't read in like 3 weeks because it's just like school, homework, sleep,
and when I read, I like to read like all at once.
All at once.
Like
yeah,
I don't like leaving off on a chapter and then picking up weeks later after I've done all my homework.
Yeah,
like it's hard.
No, you're right. It's true. I do like to do that too if I have the time. Like if I go on the weekend and just sit down with a paperback, but it's like that's the whole day, and then you feel like you've wasted a day. You feel like you're wasted. No, that's not true.
Nope. Any good books you read lately?
Yes, actually, I'm working on, it's not young adult fiction, but I'm working on,
it's a book.
The Fit, not Fits and the Fool, what's it called? Hang on.
It's here. Hang on. Off mic action. Getting the real live show. My backpack is just so full of crap right now.
You have an alternate universe in your backpack.
Yeah, really. Like, I have 14 books and like 3 DVDs and
Assassin's Quest by Robin Hobb. It's this whole series. Farseer Trilogy, which is the first one, and then Fits and the Fool is afterwards, as second trilogy, so I've got that ready to go. It's actually really good. I'm enjoying it so far.
Awesome.
It's about, let's see. You know, your sort of typical fantasy setting. You got your castles and medievalness and, you know, no indoor plumbing to speak of. But there's, you know, the Farseers is like the royal family has the ability to talk with each other through their minds. And there's magic. And there's also like beast magic, which people talk to animals and bond with them. And then there's this whole thing of.
So what is it about fantasy and magic that's so appealing?
Because it's not real life.
Yeah, real life sucks.
It really
I'd rather just be in my own bubble.
I've heard people say that they much prefer to read stories that are real. Like, you know, they like
realistic?
Reading about, no, like nonfiction. Like like reading about like memoirs and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm like, what?
No, I love a little fiction.
I just, yeah, I don't understand.
It takes you out of reality. It snaps you out of reality for a bit and like you get immersed in some other, your imagination pretty much. You know,
yeah, like I don't know what it is that's so attractive about real stories. I think that's what problem I have with journalism.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
like, oh yeah, tell the story. I'm like, what's the story? A guy walked to the bus. I don't get it. I don't understand. So I think that's
why
we're
not journalism majors.
I don't understand what makes that a story. I don't understand what's so appealing about the truth. I'm sure my journalism instructors are just like rolling over in their graves.
They're just like,
yeah, because they're all dead.
How dare you?
Making noises here.
Well, any like, what's on your top 3 favorite series? Or name any?
I can't. Oh.
There's just so many.
Give me a top 10, maybe.
Top 10, okay.
Okay, well, I mean.
Just pick 3 off the top of your head.
Pick 3, okay. Well, I mean, Harry Potter. Like,
I was into Harry Potter.
You were Harry Potter, too?
Yes.
Excellent, let's go. Favorite book. Which one do you like the best? Which one did you read the most?
the second one.
Really?
Chamber of Secrets.
Really? I really never really liked Chamber of Secrets.
Really? I think because I was in love. Because me, like, I'm not as big of a bookworm. I'm more of a movie worm. Mm. Movie worm. So I really loved the second movie. And then because of that, I read the second book and I got really into that.
Okay, you read you saw the movies first.
I saw the movies first, yeah.
You heathen.
Yeah, I know. I'm one of those people.
Oh. Well, okay. That's not, like, I've done that too. I did that for Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, in my defense, I was like in grade 6. And right. Like reading Lord of the Rings in grade 6 is a little much. Like,
well, I read the first Harry Potter book first and then the movie because that, yeah, you know, yeah. But then I was like, oh, there's more.
Then you watch this. Okay.
And,
yeah,
I watched, and then I just kind of, as the movies came out, I would read the book.
Okay.
And then I just stopped reading the books because I'm like not a bookworm.
Did you not finish the series?
No.
What?
I'm one of those people.
Are you kidding
me?
Okay, you're gonna need to like back up for the mic here. Hold on. How could you not? Which book did you stop at?
I can't even remember. I was like 11, so I'm not like. Oh, okay, I told you, so I'm like, not a bookworm. I'm a movie geek.
You stopped way before. Okay,
yeah. Right.
I thought
way
you stopped
before.
At like book 6 and just didn't read book 7. I'm
no,
like,
no.
What are you talking about? Okay, all right, that's slightly better.
Yeah.
Okay, but have you seen all the movies?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thoughts, feelings, deep emotions. Tell me about your Harry Potter feelings.
I'm like going back.
I'll tell you
time.
How you're wrong.
man, I don't know. I think it was such a fad back then that everyone was into Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And I have all the DVDs, and it was more of a family movie for me. Like every time a movie would come out, I would just go see it with my family.
Okay. Sure.
And then, I don't know. That was pretty much it. I was a fan of the actors, so I would check out their other work.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, I'm just like, oh. They're still doing things,
what,
and I can't
what,
see them.
What is their other work? Like,
they've done other things. It, like I'm,
sorry.
I don't know. They've done other things. It's interesting seeing, like, Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson doing American movies and doing American accents. It's kind
yeah.
of like, oh, my God. I kind of cringe because they can't do it.
Yeah, so that's what's so bizarre for me. I can't, like, watch them do that.
Yeah,
like,
I can't unsee Harry Potter in him.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he's not playing him, if he's playing some dude with horns.
Like, yeah, that
that
freaking
that
movie.
That was weird.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
Well, okay, what was it called? Was it called Horns or something?
Yes, it was.
Was it actually?
Yeah.
Let's find out. IMDb?
Yeah, so I guess you can do the book side of things and I'll do the film side.
Absolutely.
I'm more of the movie buff.
All about it.
Horns came out in 2013 and...
It was like vaguely like...
It was just weird.
Sexual, right?
Yeah. In the aftermath of his girlfriend's mysterious death, a young man awakens to find strange horns sprouting from his temples.
That's so
and
bizarre.
And it got a 6.5.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it was decent. I don't know.
But it's like, yeah.
I loved the series. I love the actors. And I loved everything that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the terms, the games. I had, like, an online game that I would play.
Oh, yeah?
That would kind of coincide with the movie. It would, like,
very good.
Which house were you in?
Ravenclaw.
Okay, I got sorted into Hufflepuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Did you...
I took so many quizzes, and they were all Hufflepuff. I'm like, I must
okay.
be destined
Did
for
Did you take
Hufflepuff.
The official one? Did you take the Pottermore quiz?
Yes.
Okay, that's good then.
Yes.
Yeah. They're official. So
I
the
am
official
Hufflepuff. And
oh,
yeah.
Cute. Yeah.
I'm not sure about the characteristics of a Hufflepuff, but...
You're not sure what they are? Friendly, hardworking, loyal. Their common room is down by the kitchens.
Mm.
You
Ooh,
get...
kitchens.
Like, so the entrance to it... This is the extent of my knowledge. I
yeah,
can tell you exactly
you're
about
just
all
so
the,
in depth, yeah.
all the stuff. But like, the entrance to it is like this big wall of barrels, and you like knock on one barrel in a certain pattern, and it opens up in that way. And it's
Ooh.
Like this cute.
I had a Game Boy game, Harry Potter game.
Oh yeah, I think my brother had that one.
Yeah, it was the old school one, but
yeah.
I never beat it because I got so frustrated because I would get stuck at this one level.
Yeah.
And then my sister beat the game. I'm like, damn you.
Well, those games are hard.
They're hard. They're harder than like Super Mario and all those because I could beat those easily.
Yeah.
But when I played the Harry Potter games. I just get stuck.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about old school like Game Boy and Nintendo games.
Yeah,
they're so friggin' difficult.
The Game Boy Color. Oh.
Yeah,
nostalgia.
We had these. We didn't have console games, but we had computer games.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had the Harry Potter like Warner Brothers computer game like Year 1 and 2,
mm.
and like their faces had like 4 pixels.
Yeah,
each,
it was
or, like
all
polygons
boxy
and, like,
and
but we played that shit for
fun.
Hours. It was fun.
I just
like,
love living in that world just because.
Oh my god!
Like
yeah.
now they have a theme park mm-hmm. and they're trying to make it as. Quote unquote real as possible.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I mean, obviously I would love to go there.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, it's never going to match up to what's in your head, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, maybe it's not quite the same because they kind of model it after the movies and it's a little more consistent that way
mm-hmm.
to the movies. I'm being weird with the levels again. Is that
there.
Enough? I'm good. Yeah. So I guess maybe it would be, well, fuck. Maybe it would be a better experience for you because it's, more like the movies, and the movies are
right. What
you're more
it would just
with.
Come to life, yeah.
But for me, it's like...
Because I suck at visualizing stories. I always read a book, and I could never picture what the character... Even if they describe the character, I'm just kind of like, what do they look like? I need a face. I need
yeah.
like a... And then I see the movie. It's like, okay, I could just picture the actors mm-hmm. and stuff. So, yeah.
See, that doesn't bother me as much. Like, I don't necessarily... imagine everything in complete detail. It kind of stays like more impressions
it's
for
more
me
of the story,
but it's more the feeling of the thing and like
right.
the impression that you have, and the even if what's in my head is not really accurate to even what's on the page
mm-hmm.
like I'll read a thing that it's like, oh, the Slytherin table was all the way across the hall from the Gryffindor table, but I'll imagine it as they were right next to each other in the middle.
Maybe I just suck at reading comprehension
and that doesn't well, but like that's the thing, it's like that doesn't bother me. I just keep imagining it how I want it to be,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because those first impressions when you read a book stick with you. Or at least
right.
they do for me. Like, on subsequent rereads, it just kind of, like, you remember what you were imagining then, and it just kind of... So, yeah. In that way, it might be a little weird, because I think, for me, the movieization of the book doesn't feel quite right to my experience.
A lot
of
people are so... You can never please book fans with movie adaptations.
Yeah. I used to be a real stickler with that.
Yeah, now I don't care, because I... Because it's always... It's never, like, in the description, it's never... Exactly, what's in the book is going to be translated on page, because some things that are in a book never translate well
mm-hmm.
on cinema.
Yeah.
So I've like accepted that, and then it's never like based exactly. It's always like inspired by the book, you
mm-hmm.
know, like loosely based on the story.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I refuse to watch The Giver because I love that book so much as a kid.
Oh my god!
And they fucked up the movie.
They did
so
it
badly.
In color.
And I was like, what the hell?
Did they even read the book?
That pissed
wrong.
Me off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand
yeah.
that. Like, it didn't do well, and I was like,
good.
I'm not watching it. I'm boycotting it. It just. I saw the trailer. I'm like, okay, this is all wrong. Nope.
I'm
one of those snobs
yeah.
in that sense. But like, this past weekend, I went and saw the second Maze Runner movie, and
okay.
like,
yeah.
I didn't read. I stopped at the first book,
right?
And the second movie, I was like reading reviews, and there's so many angry book fans
Uh-oh.
That just refused to watch it. So the sales went down, and the movie did good. It's like number one right now, but it
okay.
didn't do as well as the first one.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, they
the
like messed up the plot.
Too. Did mm-hmm. they really?
Yeah.
Did it make sense? Like, having not read the second book, because I haven't read it either,
okay.
did the plot still make sense?
It still made sense. It was just more cinematic and more amplified.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like The Walking Dead with, like, zombies and the
oh,
virus.
Really?
Yeah, like,
hmm.
you know how in the first book, they're trying to cure this virus, and then the second book, they show people who are infected by the virus, and in the book,
okay.
they're not as rabid and roaring, and then in the movie, they're, like rabid zombies that
okay.
can't even talk. They just roar and chase you and eat you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think... Like, what I remember from reading the first... I only read the first book. All
yeah,
I remember
same.
Is, like, the maze section, like, being inside the arena.
Mm-hmm.
After that got out, I just completely lost the plot. Like,
yeah.
I don't actually know what's going on in the world anymore.
Exactly.
I should have, like, followed through and read the other ones and gotten a better feeling for the narrative, but
yeah.
I just
I'm just, like, for me, I'm more into sci-fi young adult stuff instead of fantasy magic.
Okay, sure.
Because I was
yeah.
like, oh, it's post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this stuff might happen 100,000 years down the road, you
yeah.
know? Like, stuff that's, like, impossible right now, but it could be a possibility, some aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm more drawn into the sci-fi stuff, like Hunger Games, Divergent. It's just cool.
Yeah.
Futuristic, techie stuff when they have holograms and everyone's just like...
And I mean, yeah, post-apocalyptic stuff is big
it's,
right now.
It
like,
is so big right now.
If I was more
yeah.
of a snob, I'd be annoyed. But like, honestly, anything that gets people reading, like, I'm
yeah.
okay with it. Like, if like trends come and go, like, whatever, I'm totally fine with that.
But why do you think it's such a wave right now? You have three movies out right now that are ongoing. There's Divergent, there's the Maze Runner series, and then there's the Hunger Games. The last one's coming out
yeah
soon. So it's all at the same time.
Well, I mean, they're all inspired by books, and that the kind of wave in books came a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I was still really immersed in the adult fiction. I'm not really sure why the post-apocalyptic thing is such a big thing, but I've heard...
I think maybe it's all this end of the world crap going on right now with 2012 and
yeah,
stuff happening. What'll happen if the world gets scorched by the sun and then half the population dies? How will we preserve the population? Or
yeah.
how will we sustain humanity? You know, global warming and all that stuff. It's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are trying to make movies to depict what it could turn into.
Yeah.
I've heard
a lot of theories about how our generation versus the previous generation pictures the future.
Right.
So, for example, if you think about the 50s,
yep.
a lot of it was very optimistic. And you're like,
cause it was
this
yeah.
great swell of technology and
yeah.
development and all this stuff. And the future looked great. But now we've kind of reached the seedy underbelly of all that
yeah.
development. And we're sort of staring down the barrel of global warming and all these... I mean, the 24 news... 24
it's so interesting. I saw this... someone mashed up all three trailers and made it into one super trailer, and it just
yeah.
looks like one movie, and it's essentially
yeah.
the same. There's children,
yeah.
and then there's the evil adults
mm-hmm.
that are I'll show a clip.
We need to unite these people out there.
We were to combine forces, it would be unstoppable.
The world outside is hanging on by a very thin thread.
Snow has to pay for what he's done.
Make no mistake, the game doesn't ever.
That time has called for extreme measures.
Kill them both.
We have to stop her together.
It was really funny. It was like the Maze Games. Divergent. No, the Divergent series, semicolon, the Maze Games.
Uh-huh.
So it was like mashup of all three. And it's cool. Yeah. Like, if that was a movie, I'd watch it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like,
I'm a sucker for that.
The meta narratives and all this stuff. But yeah, it's really cool. Let's see. Of those, yeah, back to what we were saying a little earlier, it took me a very long time to realize that books and movies were never going to be the same.
Never. And you're never going to be content with, like, a director's interpretation of the book, because everyone interprets it differently. So it's really, people were like shitting on the director of the Maze Runner movie. And I was like, well, I feel bad, because he was arguing like, okay, this is, it translates better on screen from a filmmaker's perspective. This would, if I put every single thing in the book on screen, it wouldn't work out.
Exactly.
And there's, if you remember the first movie, there's the two characters they can communicate telepathically.
In the Maze Runner?
In the first movie, or in the first book, but they didn't have it in the movie. Huh. Like, they took out the telepathic communication, yeah, just because, okay, it would be cheesy. And the book fans are like, okay, that makes sense. Like, yeah, you know, that would be cheesy, like talking with their minds.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally agree. And so, yeah, now I've come to realize that it's like they're two totally different mediums, and you basically have to
adjust it.
To be 100% fair to the director of the Maze Runner movie, what he was given to work with is not really stellar. It's not stellar. Like, it's not
He
terrible.
Made it work, though. Their budget was low.
Okay.
And they made it work. Yeah, I did research.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm into whenever films come out, I like looking at the process.
Mm-hmm.
They only had $30 million to work with.
Oh, really?
And they only had two locations to shoot.
That
and they made
sense.
It work. And
yeah,
they had a good CGI team.
That's actually really impressive.
It was really impressive. And then it did well for that. So then,
yeah,
hopefully the series continues.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, that's actually, because when I watched it, I thought, wow, this is just another big budget film.
Yeah,
like,
Hollywood blockbuster.
It looked really good.
No, the budget was really low for that.
Hmm.
It was good. Applaud.
Hooray. Yeah, but in my humble opinion, The Maze Runner is not exactly the epitome of young adult fiction out there.
No, no. I think,
you know, it's what's popular, I guess.
It's popular right now. Same with Divergent and Hunger Games.
But I do agree that a lot of those,
they're all the same,
narratives, well, yeah, worked better as movies. The Hunger Games in particular, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because Suzanne Collins wrote for TV first. She was a TV
writer
first.
Right. That helps a lot.
And when you read the books, the prose is very spare. There isn't very much description, but there's a lot of action. And it's a lot, and it's a very, present, it's all very present tense, which is of course what happens in TV. You have to mm-hmm. follow the protagonist as she goes. There's not a lot of the introspection that you normally find in novels and sort of the quieter moments. It's just very present and action oriented, and it works.
That helps a lot. Like, she was a screenwriter before she was an author.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So
actually.
Yeah, it works much better as a series of films. Although I mean, I love Harry Potter, but boy, do I wish they hadn't pioneered the thing of, hey, let's make the last book into two films instead of one.
They started that. That's
Jesus
like...
Jesus Christ.
I think it's just milking out money
it
for
is.
Film. Yeah,
it's terrible.
Like, they're doing that with Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like...
Twilight,
of
course. What's
let's
Twilight?
Not go into that.
No. That doesn't really fit. But I did read Twilight, though, when I was, like, 14.
Yeah, so did I.
14-year-old.
I got my brother into it. His room was postered with Twilight posters for about a year.
Oh, wow.
It was impressive. I think he read them faster than I did, which was the one and only time that ever
happened.
That
was the fastest I've ever read a book. I think I read the third one. It was, like, the thickest book.
Yeah.
And I read it in, like, a day.
It's very fluffy writing. Like, it's not
fluffy.
It's not very intense.
No.
So it's very easy to, like, just...
It's easy to follow. It's easy to just rip by it.
Yeah. skim right past it there.
Mm-hmm. But it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
I wish someone would have told me how awful they were.
Well, it's important to read the bad stuff so that you can recognize when the good stuff comes around.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I could do a whole podcast on just how bad Twilight actually is, but let's face it, nobody's here for that. Nobody wants to deal with that.
No.
That's like a podcast of 3 years ago.
Anyways. What other... have you read Never Let Me Go?
No. Who was that by?
A really hard to pronounce Japanese name.
Okay.
It was translated
let's
English, but
here.
There's a movie, and I really... That was like the last book I ever... Last book I ever read. The last fiction book I ever read, and it was really cool. It's another post-apocalyptic.
Okay.
Not a post-apocalyptic. Like a dystopian. It was a dystopian novel.
Yeah, yeah.
And they made a movie out of it. I thought it was probably one of the better adapted movies.
Okay.
It's not really for young adults. It's just kind of a futuristic what would happen if it's basically about How do I explain the plot?
Well, I'm looking at the Wikipedia thing, okay. So I can just read it. But well, here, let's read it from Wikipedia.
Read it from Wikipedia.
There's clones. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Clones and harnessing organs.
Oh, if you like that, you might like a book called Unraveled. Or Unravel?
I heard about that.
It's actually very good.
Unraveled?
Yeah. I forget who it was by. I picked it up in the library, but it's very... I think it deals with the same stuff as this stuff does.
Yeah, that looks cool. Sounds like something... Looks like something I'd read.
Yeah. It's like people can have like a retroactive abortion.
Oh.
Like, I don't know, they kind of, the abortion movement kind of gets out of control, and the law changes so that if parents decide they don't actually want a kid, when they're like 16 or something, they can just go and be unraveled. Okay.
There's all these, I don't know, I like the concept of like trying to control how humanity works, and it's like in The Giver too, assigning people, or going back to even, I really like Brave New World. I read it like for novel study, that was cool.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, that one's a big one. It was a novel study book in high school, so everyone was forced to read it, but I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I feel like I've read this.
Yeah, like cloning, and so pretty much Never Let Me Go is about they take kids and they clone them, and then they put them in this institution, and they have no idea that their whole life is basically just an organ donor.
Okay,
so then they
start
donating their organs, and then they die, and then their organs go to society, like for, you know, just to have like a constant stream of organs.
Fresh organs.
Yeah.
That's kind of similar.
It's kind of dark,
Unraveled,
but
actually.
The movie was so beautifully done that
that's good.
I just liked it.
You know what that reminds me of, actually, is a book called hang on. You can just cut this out afterwards. Oh, The Girl with All the Gifts.
Oh.
It's not a young adult, it's a fantasy one. It's actually a zombie novel.
Zombies.
But okay. I say this as a person that hates zombie narratives.
Oh yeah.
I can't stand The Walking Dead. I hate like Left 4 Dead and all those video games.
Yep.
Zombies gross me out.
Oh yeah.
But
they're pretty creepy.
This was an excellent narrative. It's very I kind of don't want to tell you about it, so if you want to read it.
Okay.
Just go ahead.
Cuz
like trying to describe it would sort of take away a lot of the suspense of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those books where you start out not knowing anything, and then just as you slowly read, it kind of reveals the scope of the world and the narrative. So, but it follows a little girl who's stuck in a, like, it's pretty clear that it's a laboratory of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
This is like post-zombie apocalypse, and she develops a relationship with one of her teachers.
Mm.
And it kind of, that creates problems, and it goes from there. But it's very powerful, and it seems quite similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah,
there, so.
That's the kind of stories I like reading, or
yeah.
I liked reading in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. And you're more of like, well, I wouldn't say you're like swayed toward it, but the stuff you're talking about is more magic and.
Yeah, that's what I tend to go for. Although, like my,
which is neat too.
Like sci-fi fantasy work, like sci-fi fantasy, they're kind of interchangeable in that way.
True.
I've heard it be described as speculative fiction,
right?
Which is kind of like, you know, what if this happened? What if this happened? You know, you just have the outlandish premises and stuff, and that's the kind of stuff that I really.
I think I like sci-fi just because it's human versus technology and the elements, and magic is just kind of this ethereal thing that I don't know.
Well,
I can't wrap my head around it. Someone just kind of waving their hand and something appears.
Well, that makes sense.
Maybe because I'm not a gamer.
No, that's not true.
Does that not correlate?
No. In fact, I think because I like fantasy so much, so many video games are so like
lame.
Technologically based.
Oh, right.
I'm bored by it. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm running around and shooting a gun that I could do that. Like, if I really wanted to, I could do that in the real world. I could sign up to the army and do... But no, like... Yeah, like there are some video games that have like magic and dragons and stuff, but honestly, not as many good ones have that as you would think.
Okay.
So, no, but I've been drawn to fantasy since I was really young. But what I actually really like about it is, I mean, like the layman's view of magic. Here we go.
here we go.
Get ready for a magic lesson, kids. is that, you know, you can just wave your hand and something appears. But the hallmark of a good fantasy narrative is that it has a well-defined magic system.
Okay.
There has to be rules because there's no tension if magic is just...
It's just there.
All reward and no cost. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Okay.
So there, to be successful, the author has to put constraints on the magic.
Right, yeah.
And that kind of... And any constraints...
Creates tension.
That creates tension and conflict.
Conflict and story.
And exactly. Ta-da. You have a story.
Cool.
One of the more interesting magic systems I ever heard of was, or I've ever read, is Brent Weeks's Lightbringer trilogy. Mm. In which the magic is defined by color.
Oh.
So it's called drafting.
Yeah.
So the magic users have they interface with light,
yeah.
and they basically act as prisms.
Mm.
And, like, So, for example, somebody who drafts red, you know, they can produce this, you know, red kind of personified material. It's kind of like a hot goo. Yes. Whereas yellow is kind of like a glass. Green is more like a malleable plastic. That's and blue is more brittle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a really interesting system, and it kind of the world is, you know, defined by that. And there's a guy who can draft all the things, and he's the guy who's like a religious figure. And there's, you know, politics and stuff just grow out of that. So
anyways, got a question. If you could zap our world into another fantasy books world just for a day, if you could choose one, which world would you want to live in?
I know exactly which one it would be.
Which one?
Naomi Novik's Temeraire Universe.
Okay. How does that one function?
So this one is actually, it's very interesting because the premise of the book is very simple. Napoleonic War plus dragons.
Dragons.
It sounds stupid. I agree. But okay, but it's, I really like her thing because it feels like a historical novel. Like, it reads like a historic novel.
Yeah.
Like, sort of the word choices and the character's dialogue feel very kind of 18th century.
Mm-hmm.
Although not so much that you can't understand it. What makes it extraordinary is that the world otherwise seems very mundane. It's just like, suddenly there's dragons. And so the society, like, shifts slightly around that.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, a completely new world.
Okay.
So, and actually most of the plots of the book revolve around, you know, they use dragons as a stand-in for, you know, some of the civil rights movements.
Okay.
So the main protagonist dragon is like, hey, why do dragons have to serve in the military? Why can't they become scholars? Because in England, there's all these rules and they have to live on these, like, you know, isolated areas away from the general population. Whereas in China, they're like full citizens because they're just as smart as people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this whole thing. So that is where I would go because I'm a giant nerd and I love dragons.
Ooh, dragons.
Yeah.
So dragons make up a lot of the political issues there?
Yeah. That's because it's like
a stand-in for other issues.
Mm.
Why can't we just be there? Zap dragons.
I would love dragons. They're just so cool. I don't know. I want a dragon. Where would you go?
Oh, man. I can't even answer that. I wouldn't know. There's so many. Obviously, when I was a kid, I wanted Harry Potter to be real, but then there's so many evil forces out there, and it's so dangerous just going to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, that can't be safe. That's like, that'd be a lockdown every day.
Yeah. If you examine the Harry Potter universe in, like, a more critical way, you realize it's really kind of fucked up
and
dangerous.
It is. It's so messed up. And they're throwing these kids into this magic school where their lives are in danger all the time. So I wouldn't want, like, I would want that to be real, the magic aspect, but not the evils.
Well, to be fair, you know, to Hogwarts,
But they needed something, some antagonist.
Exactly. Not every year has, you know, Voldemort running around.
Because
like,
just Harry Potter just showed up and messed it all up for everyone for the next 7 years.
Pretty much. I've seen people talk about, like, imagine being a student in Harry Potter's year at school, but, like, not being friends with him.
Yeah.
So, like, you're just trying to have a normal life, and then all of a sudden, like, there's a mass murderer in school.
Yeah.
Guess who your fault it is? Yeah.
Dang it, Harry.
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
You messed us up for all of us. Everything was cool until you showed up.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah, I guess I'll just go with that, just childhood purposes. Yeah.
Very good.
It was so neat.
I had something I was going to say.
Yeah.
Any questions? I have many questions. Damn.
Do you ever get so caught up in following a series or world that you just forget you have friends?
Sometimes.
I locked myself in my room when I was in the Twilight phase.
Uh-huh.
And my friends were fans of it too.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just never see them. Like, I could easily talk to them about it and watch the movie with them, but I would just kind of, I like being by myself when it comes to being in a fandom. I kind of just keep to myself. I don't know.
I kind of know what you mean. I used to be like that. I mean, before I had the internet, I wouldn't really talk to my friends about the books I was reading or anything.
Me either. And it's nice to talk about it just to get their perspective, but I was always just like, no.
This is mine. Yeah, trying to
absorb it. Yeah.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. Nowadays, when I finish something, I'll, like, you know, sit on it for a little bit and then go online to see what everyone else thinks.
Yeah.
To see
if what I'm thinking. That's what I like doing. I like going, instead of talking to people in person, I like going online and seeing what the forums are thinking about it, or reviews. Every movie I watch, I have to go on IMDb. Just if it sucks, if I think it sucks, I just need to know someone else that agrees that it sucks. Yeah. Or if it's good, then I need to know.
Ripping apart bad stuff is really, really entertaining.
It is so entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that all day.
Oh, yeah. Ripping apart bad stuff on the internet. Yeah. Okay, I was going to ask you this. What do you think is the worst movie you've ever seen or book you've ever... Worst movie you've ever seen or book you've ever read?
Man, I don't have a prepared answer for that. I've seen a lot of bad movies. I actually go and see bad movies for fun with my sister. That's mm-hmm. the thing we have, just for kicks. Because we just get... Have you heard of The Room?
Yes, I have.
I haven't seen that yet, but it's just so hilariously bad. It's like that. Like, you see bad movies, and they're so funny, and they become memes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Yeah, I don't mind watching bad stuff, like, ironically, but the idea of paying money, like, giving them money, like, reinforcing their bad behavior.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'll just pirate that shit.
Exactly. But sometimes, like, walk into a movie thinking it's going to be good, and then it's actually, like,
oh, it's so
horrible.
Disappointing. Oh, my God. Okay. You want me to tell you about
the worst
movie I think I've ever seen?
Or go ahead.
The biggest disappointment I've ever seen in theaters. Okay. So this isn't a book. It was actually a show before it became a movie.
Mm.
Have you heard of Avatar: The Last Airbender?
Yes. I watched that as
a
kid. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. I discovered it when I first sort of discovered the internet. And I basically like... I didn't watch
it. I didn't even watch the movie just because I heard it was terrible.
I
didn't want it to ruin my...
I actually paid money to see it.
Oh, shoot.
And it was the worst experience
I've
ever
had. Yeah, my brother was such a huge, huge fan of the series. He paid money to watch it and he came home so mad.
Yeah. I've seen videos.
I was like, okay, I'm not watching it.
Burning the DVD. I would... No, I will... I'll join them. I will burn any DVD.
Yeah, exactly.
It is the worst. The worst. It's such a good show. Like,
So you think it had potential to be good? Or they shouldn't have even adapted it.
Well,
because
it was already a show, right? So it was already a
visual medium. It had a big following.
And I think the seasons could have been condensed into a movie because, I mean, especially in the first season.
Kind of drawn, draggy.
Yeah, it was a kid's show. There were a lot of filler episodes, a lot of stuff you didn't necessarily need.
No, I love that show.
It's a great show. If you want to watch a kid's show that still holds up when you're older, watch that show.
Mm-hmm.
The first season drags a little bit, but once you hit the first season finale and then into the second season, it's like, bing, bang, boom. So much stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, so good. I could talk about that thing all day long. I've actually like semi-seriously considered getting like airbender tattoos.
Ooh.
Like, think how cool that would be. Like,
Their tattoos always look neat. I'm just
right?
Man.
For those who have never seen it, it's like, so the idea of Avatar: The Last Airbender, it's a world in which there are four different nations, and they're divided by the sort of element that they're associated with. So water, air, earth, fire. Fire Nation, Earth Kingdom, Water Tribe. The Water Tribe is kind of modeled after the Inuit people. Fire Nation kind of is like ancient Japan. Earth Kingdom more like ancient China. And the Air Nomads, which are kind of like ancient Tibetan monks.
Wasn't that such an issue how they casted it racially?
Yeah, the movie was, it was...
Hollywoodified.
Yeah, because they cast... Right, the issue was that they cast Katara and Sokka, the Water Tribe people, who are supposed to be, like, Inuit, basically.
Yeah.
They cast them as white people.
Mm-hmm.
I think Aang as well, like, the main character.
Yeah.
Like, he's supposed to be, you know, Chinese and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, they called him Aang.
Aang?
And it's not like...
What?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes. It's not like it's a book where you can the pronunciation can be interpreted. it's a show.
Yeah.
It's
and they actually say the name on the show.
Yes, multiple times. It's his name. That's only the first of so many issues, my friends. Don't even.
You can talk for days about that.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah, that's. I'm not gonna watch that.
Don't do it. Just watch the show again and love yourself.
Yeah, love yourself. The show is.
Anyway, so the Airbender tattoos were like. They had blue like arrows down their legs and their arms
and
above their head.
Yeah,
because it mimicked the sky bisons and they had arrows and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I actually got my brother a sky bison plushie for one of his Christmases. It's like this big. It's so cute.
Aww.
It's so fuzzy. I want one for myself. Actually,
what's the name of that bison again?
Appa.
Appa. There we go. Appa. Appa.
Appa. Appa. Appa. Yeah, I think it's Appa. Appa.
Yeah.
They pronounce it in a certain way. And
they
it's
do.
Kind of hard to emulate, but anyways. Great show. Highly recommended. But, so bad. I've heard rumblings that they're going ahead with a second movie.
Maybe. I heard that too.
But,
no, stop.
I think the internet might explode if that happens.
Unless they just completely revamp it and make it better. But
yeah.
There's, a lot of damage control on that.
So bad. M. Night Shyamalan. I don't know what happened.
So, do you think TV show to movie adaptations are better than book to movie, or... Just as they can mess up just as bad.
Well, I mean, obviously, Exhibit A, they
Exhibit
can
A,
mess
Avatar.
Up just as bad. But
there we go. I answered my own question.
I can't say that I've watched a whole bunch of those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, have you seen a whole bunch of TV to movie adaptations?
The first movie I ever watched in theaters, I was 6 years old, was the Pokemon movie.
Okay.
And I loved it.
Well, okay. Yeah, with Pokemon, it's a little
Pokemon's
easier,
good. Yeah.
Because there's no real overarching plot. It's just kind of individual episodes, I guess.
That's true. And then the conflict gets resolved at the end of the episode. It's like, it's not an ongoing thing. You could just watch this episode standalone and you can get the idea.
It's completely episodic. So that
and then Avatar, you have to actually kind of go back to season one and
you have to follow the actual plot, the overarching plot. Yeah. Well, yeah, with Pokemon, you can basically, like, it's such a multiverse kind of
thing. I wish Pokemon were real.
Where you can, oh man. Have you heard of Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
You gonna get it?
Hell yeah.
I'm thinking about getting it too.
What is Pokemon Go? Explain for the listeners.
Okay, so Pokemon Go. So Pokemon, as you might know, probably do, is like a, you know, game played on the handheld. Pokemon Go is going to bring Pokemon into the real world, or it's going to be like an augmented reality kind of
game.
I can
kind of picture someone like walking into traffic trying to catch a Pokemon. That'd probably be me.
There's been so many jokes online of like, you're on an airplane and it's like, wait, turn around. There was Latios over there. And the pilot's like, holy shit. So the idea is that you have the app on your phone, and I think you can. There's also like an armband periphery that can work like on its own. And the idea is they're going to make a virtual reality in which different Pokemon are scattered in different places around the world. So if you're walking around, your phone beeps at you, and you can actually you have to go to a certain place to catch certain Pokemon.
They had a little stint for that with Google Maps, though.
Yeah, I think it was just a game. Like you just like would go on the map and like scroll around. It wasn't actually. Like, you couldn't, like, interact with it in that
virtual realm. Right, you just kind of go there and then you catch it, but it doesn't actually show it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a game to get people off their ass and running around.
Yeah. But yeah, this is, I think it's already out in Japan.
Of course, it's out in Japan.
I saw something about a release on September 17th in Japan, although I haven't seen...
Japan gets everything.
Anything. Well, it's a Japanese company. Yeah. Like, although I'm kind of, the fact that stuff isn't worldwide now, especially with the internet, is a little bit bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of distribution, like
and
legislation,
I feel like
needs to be changed.
It's coming out. That game could have came out years ago, just because they had the means to make it.
Maybe
I was so surprised. I'm like, why are we just getting this now? It's like such an epic thing.
I don't know if the location technology was necessarily as good.
I guess so. The GPS stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with waiting till now because it's like,
I guess so.
If it's as good as it can be, you know. So yeah, I think it's like a November release for North America.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm excited. I think you are too. Although I have to say, I like so many other things, I didn't get into Pokemon until almost I was graduated high school. My first Pokemon game was Black and White. Which was your first Pokemon game?
Oh, what was it? Pokemon Red?
Oh, you're from Gen 1?
Yeah.
Original?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, Gen 5 was, like, the first gen that I ever experienced. That's the one that I really like. Nobody else seems to like Gen 5 very much.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with Gen 5? Like, get out of here. Like, they're all like, oh, Garbodor. I'm like, okay, well, fucking... Like, it's the Pokemon that's, like, a bag of garbage. But, I mean, Gen 1, you have literally a pile of eggs.
Right.
Execute or something.
Execute.
Like, and you have, like, Borb and... slightly different colored Voltorb. It's like Pokemon are ridiculous. That's the whole. Anyway, arguments online. I get kind of salty at people like shitting all over Gen 5 when Gen 1 is just as ridiculous, if not more.
I always liked Digimon. It was like the second fiddle to Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay, I retract my answer. Like, Harry Potter, I like want it to be real, but I also want Digimon to be real.
You want Digimon to be real?
Yes.
I think Digimon would maybe
talk and they can like evolve and devolve whenever they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had these little, like, there was, like, they had another world that they traveled to.
Yeah, the digital world.
The digital
right?
world. And I was like, man. And then I was like six.
It's like
I was
the
like,
internet.
I hope this is real. I want to find a portal. I literally said that when I was younger. I, like, had some glimmer of hope that world would be real.
Yeah, I was always waiting for my Hogwarts letter.
It was in everyone that's like, I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
Where are you, Hogwarts?
Yeah, any
shout
day
out
now,
to
like, I'll go. Screw Precom. I'm cool with fucking England. Scotland, I guess.
I think...
Digimon's a decent answer, though. Like,
Digimon,
I think it would
be
less disruptive.
Yeah.
You know? If it's just, like, digital monsters, well, we kind of have that already.
Hang out with them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a little more real, you know?
I think, I was going to say, like, those sci-fi worlds would be neat, but everyone's always in danger. And it's kind of based on just trying to survive and kids killing each other and kids trying to get out of evil...
That's the thing about the post-apocalyptic genre.
Yeah.
The stories are interesting, but man, everything's terrible.
If I got plopped in there, I would die.
Yeah, like, no, I want my couch still, and my laptop, and my iTunes, and all this stuff.
And just my headphones, and just chilling. Yeah. I don't, like, and it's all teenagers, too.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you, that's so cruel.
Well, it pretty much has to be if it's marketed towards teenagers.
I guess so.
That's how young adult fiction works.
Rebellious.
Well, it's good to read stories about yourself.
True. And then you get to put yourself in that perspective.
Exactly. That's why I'm such a big proponent of, we're going to do a little bit of a IPP pitching here. No, not pitching. Mm-hmm. What's the word I'm looking for? Promotion?
Promotion.
Yeah, promoting here. That's why I'm such a big proponent of representation in fiction.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm writing my IPP book on about LGBTQ characters.
Cool.
Because queer kids deserve to have characters that are like them in fiction.
Exactly.
And not just, like, being sad and dying, but, like, going on adventures and...
And not just making that such a big deal. Just
exactly.
Kind of,
yeah.
Exactly. Man, you got it.
Yeah. That's so that. That's,
is there,
that's
is there a character in fiction or in movies or in a book that you can relate to? Was there one character or two or
actually,
in a movie that, like, you're like, man, that person's like me, or I share personality characteristics with that character?
You know, not really. Like, I, like, nothing is really jumping to mind.
Yeah.
I can't say that I've ever, like, being able to relate to a character has never been very high on my list of reasons to read a book.
True.
Just because I don't think I've ever found a character that I really actually relate to entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just because I have like some kind of personality disorder or what, but, like, I don't know. Like, what about you?
Hold on. Let me pull up my list.
Oh, you got a list? Of course you have a list.
I always have a list.
You have so many lists.
Nope. So, oh, I so lost bad. My list. Dang, nabbit. Okay, have you read Perks of Being a Wallflower? Have you read The Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Yes.
I like that book.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't necessarily relate to the characters, but I think it's very realistic.
Yeah.
And, like, the main character's just kind of... Well, kind of in a way, because he's, like, in a party and doesn't really know what to do, and he kind of just sits there and watch all these kids party, and I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a wallflower.
Yeah, like...
He's awkward.
In that sense, I related to it, but, like, the reason that I like read the movie is not too. To find things that are similar to my own life, it's to get away from my own life, you know?
Exactly. That's true. So, but it's nice when you find a character and you're like, oh, cool.
Like, I don't mind the Perks being wallflower, but I kind of found it depressing just because it was
so depressing. Yeah.
That was my life, so it's like, I don't know. I don't want to read about the crap that's already happening.
That's
to me.
True. I want to escape.
Exactly. I want to get away from it. Actually, but now that you mention it, now I'm thinking, I did actually quite enjoy Sylvia Plath, The Bell Jar.
Okay, what's that one about?
It's one of those English books that you have to read. It's about Sylvia Plath, basically, and her, like, struggles with, like, depression and, like, being an outsider and this kind of thing. But I think, actually, that... I don't know if it was her writing as herself or her writing as a character. I can't quite remember. But I do remember feeling very similar to what she was describing. Like, she was describing, like, the way that her sort of brain felt and whatever. And that resonated with me, actually. Okay. So, yeah, now that you mentioned it, that's the one thing that I've ever experienced.
Like, it was the narration, like, or the character?
A bit of both.
Okay.
It was one of those books that wasn't like, this is a character and this is a plot. It was more like freeform and just kind of like introspection and like one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else in my class hated it. And I felt so weird for liking it so much. Yeah.
Oh.
So,
it's weird.
I don't know. It was this whole thing of like, I went home to read it. I was reading like 3/4 of it. And then it just felt like, so, something in my brain was like, I just need to be quiet and like sort of absorb this.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even feel like I wanted to talk.
Right.
I just kind of had to, like, think about it and be in that narrative. And my mom called me down for dinner, and I just didn't speak for the whole meal.
No, yeah.
And she was, like, wondering what the heck was wrong with me. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm having an experience. So, yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
In that sense.
Okay.
It was a little weird.
Is there a book out there that hasn't been adapted to a movie yet that you want to see?
Temeraire. The Temeraire book.
The dragon book.
I think that would be...
That would be so neat.
Right?
Yeah, I would watch
actually
that.
In 3D. Well, yeah. I mean, if they have the CG for it, I'm willing to wait a couple of years until the CG gets better.
Yeah.
Because, like, to be able to render dragons that are the size of buildings, like barns, like, that's obviously on the big side. That's, like, the biggest they get.
Dang.
And then the smallest is kind of like, you know, like a large horse.
Okay.
But, like, to be able to do that effectively and not look cheesy, I think CG has a little ways to go with that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there are some movies with dragons, and it's just, like, it's not quite there yet. So.
Okay. I think for me, I'd want them to remake Brave New World.
Okay. Sure.
Just because they did have a movie in the 90s based on the book, and then it was crappy. Then there was, like, these rumors going around that they were going to put one out in 2012, and it never happened, and I'm still waiting.
Because
I just really want it to be made into a movie just because they have all the elements now that can make it into a really great movie, and they can...
Yeah.
They had all these actors on board too, and it just never happened. I hate that when, like, they hype you up with it and it's in pre-production, and then all of a sudden it gets dropped and it never happens. So I think I want Brave New World. Do you know what the story's about? Yes. Google. Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cloning and all that stuff. Yeah. And
it's one of the
casting humans into, like, you're destined for this job. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. kind of like The Giver. But yeah, I like that. I think they could have adapted it better. Because, yeah, the first movie, we watched it in class and it was like, what is this? It's cheesy 90s graphics. And now that they have the technology, they can make it look really filmic and cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I actually got really excited a few years ago because Peter Jackson, the guy who did Lord of the Rings, bought the rights for the Temeraire books.
Okay.
Like,
oh, okay.
Or he, like, optioned the rights or, like, whatever. He sort of put his foot in the ring to try to do that. I mean, when he had just done Lord of the Rings, I got really, really excited. Mm-hmm. Now that he's done The Hobbit, I'm a little less excited because what a shit show that was.
Oh, yeah.
But from what I've heard, it's not really his fault. Like, it was mainly, like, studio interference and, like, they wanted to make it. It was their decision to make it three movies rather than two, and, like, it just kind of got...
It gets jumbled up once the studio gets involved.
Yeah, it got really, really screwed up by development hell, basically. Yep. So, I'm hoping, like, my perfect dream is, like, about 5 years from now, he'll come out with a Temeraire movie, and it'll be, like, gorgeous graphics and, like, Peter Jackson storytelling, and I will just
die. Don't you just not want to get too attached to the idea of, like, the movie being amazing? Because every little thing gets...
But that's the other side of it, too. It's, like, what if it's bad?
Exactly. I mean,
sorry.
I don't know. What do you have to lose if it's bad, I guess?
Yeah, because it's, like, I mean, because being able to see it is a different thing.
That's true.
And I really
does it ever ruin it in your head, though? Because it's, like, you read a book, and then movies start coming out, and then you read
sometimes.
A book again, and then you're, like, oh, well.
Harry Potter was like that for me.
For everyone.
Yeah. But I read enough stuff that's kind of off the wall a little bit, that not too much of it gets made into movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, whatever.
Is there any... I had another question, but I forgot.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you about another book that I really liked that was made into a terrible movie. World War Z. The other zombie thing
movie, yeah. I haven't seen that. I don't know why I haven't seen it. I've been planning on seeing it.
Don't.
But I heard it was bad.
Read the book. Or if you're lazy, listen to the audiobook.
There's an audiobook?
Okay. Yeah. Because it's actually like... It's kind of like a documentary style.
Mm.
Like, the author goes around and gets, like, vignettes of people's stories from the zombie war, which is what it's about.
Yeah.
And it's a really actually it's an excellent story, and I think the audiobook might even be better because they have a cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, each character that the guy talks to is voiced by somebody different. So like, there's a Japanese character who's voiced by a Japanese
guy.
It's
not just one guy narrating.
Just one guy doing voices. Yeah, exactly. If you don't have time to read, if you've got like everyone actually, go download World War Z audiobook. If you don't have time to
read, it's kind of like a radio play then.
Yeah, it
seems
is.
Like it, yeah.
And it's such an excellent production, and it just feels, it's so visceral.
Ooh.
It's, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but it's, yeah. It really grabbed me the first time I read it, and don't watch the movie. It's just another Brad Pitt Saves the World movie.
Pitt Saves the World.
It's not worth your time, I promise you. The only thing that has in common with the book is the name.
Honestly. Yeah, that's what
it's so bad.
Yeah.
But.
As I wonder if directors ever keep that in mind, like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to piss off a whole group of fans, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to piss off another group of fans.
I don't think they go out to piss anyone off.
I think they just
care. I think they buy the rights to those names just for the name value, you know?
Right, because there's already a following with the name. And then,
exactly. So if they think that if they put something out with that same name, they're like, oh, hey, there's a fan base already built in. I'll just make a ton of money off of them. But then they don't realize that the fan base is actually incredibly critical and invested in what's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm.
And so I think that might be time to wrap up, actually, because we started late and have to go to class. So we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Hope you enjoyed this one. Yeah. I like this one a lot.
I like this one, too.
Cool.
Go read World War Z or listen to it. That's the end. Bye.
The end.